Mario was quiet, very unassuming. You could probably wouldn't even notice he was in the room. He had this kind of dry sense of humor, and he was just an old soul to me. He would bring friends home that didn't have anything to eat, or their moms, and he would say, I remember buying him and his brother their winter coats. And he said, I said, where's that coat I brought you? And he said, I had to give it to my buddy because he didn't have a coat, Mom, and we can get a coat. And so he was that. He just had this beautiful heart. I cannot describe his heart. It was so beautiful. Mario was the one that he was going to make life right for me. You know, that was his thing. I always think we had in common, he was the youngest, I was the youngest. I think a lot of times he went under the radar, as like I did. I was responsible for a lot of things, being the youngest, and I worried a lot more than my other siblings about my mother. Mario was like that for me. Never forgot Mother's Day cards, those things. Yeah. Mario's my ride or die. He really was. He had, his issues were no different than anybody else's issues. And I had taught him how to drive, and every time he accomplished something, his first bank card and how to use the ATM and how to deposit, all these things, you know, I saw him believe more in himself. And I remember saying, you're going to have some down days, but we're going to get right back up. And as long as we're together, we're good. And I remember telling Mario one time, I said, oh, laugh out loud more. Because he hardly would laugh. He had this kind of nervous, goofy laugh. And I thought, I hear it in my head. And I realized I was saying it more for me than him. I was going to need to rely on that. Like, the way you would always just say, Mom, Mom, Mom. I always needed something. Mom, Mom, I missed that. I missed him. He just got a raw deal that day. It was so wrong what they did to Mario. He was a little, I think that day, I didn't read much into, he might have been a lot depressed. Like, he did give me a call, and he was a little bit, a little bit down about seeing that the parole officer. And I said, and I was a little bit firm with him, like, just call the parole officer and do it, and then I'll see you tonight. And kind of hung up abruptly. And so as the day goes by, I see a friend, Kelvin Brooks, who lived in our community, and we're friends on Facebook, and he posts something. Do anyone... does anyone know about the man that was just killed in the Bayview? And then Kelvin has this image posted. And I know his walk, pigeon-toed. And I quickly shut it off. And I called my niece. I said, I want you, I'm going to send you this Facebook page image. I want you to tell me, is that Mario? And even she was more, she was like, that's my cousin. And, you know, you don't want to admit it subconsciously. You can't accept that. But I knew it was a little walk. And I think from that day, I've just been trying to put it all back together. Trying to make sense of it, I can't. And our life is now forever changed. When I think about the pain, I remember carrying Mario. I remember the labor pains, and I remember the sound of his heartbeat and him swimming in the sack and on that machine. And it seems like the pain comes in like that with labor. It's like starts up and then it's like goes up and up, and you can just see it and you have to ride it out. I do say I have to stay, I'd rather stay angry and mad, because that keeps you in the fight of it. That keeps, to me, it keeps you alive. The grief takes you out. You can't move on it, you can't function, you're dormant with it. And now I'm starting to finally maybe grieve this, and it's horrible, you know, because there's so many triggers, you know, with it, that comes with it. For us, as parents that lost our loved ones to police state policing brutality, and to see it videotaped, because it's ever going to be an image scarred in your mind. Can't never shake it. But you see your child. You're just triggered. You're back there. I'm back in, you know, 2015. It's December 2nd, 4:44 p.m. when this happened to Mar. And so you're in that moment. And as a mother, I think it's all I can do for him. It's like you and they little, you know, the things you do, tuck them in, all these things you do, you know, brush little hair, give them their back. All I can do for him now is tell everybody who he was.